Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 11, recording on Wednesday, 6th of July. Joined by my co-host, Shahan. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, Shanika. Another smashing on the weekend for the Roos. And even my team didn't get the win, Masala.
I was going to ask you about your personal footy team.
Yeah, well, we've got a bye this week to reassess.
You didn't lose by 112 points, did you?
No, we didn't. And we did get a lot more inside 50s after quarter time.
We'll talk about the Roos review shortly. But
what about, so before we start that, do you have any other topics? The suspension to hip foot,
yeah,
or lack of
suspension. Yeah, I thought that should have been a suspension. I don't know, he was smiling about on the bench, whether that was because he duped his opponent or whether he got the umpire. But, I mean, if you're really serious about protecting umpires, I don't think there's not a way he couldn't have seen the umpire, if that makes sense. I think there's like even a 1% chance he's seen the umpire, because some of the angles aren't great. But, I thought it should have been a suspension. It's pretty light on. And, yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought a suspension, it was suspension worthy. I think the AFL were pushing for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In the end, it was a $2,500 fine.
But which is like a slap on the wrist.
Really. Yeah, I mean the angle looked bad, so we didn't have the perfect vision, but
but
at the end of the day, he pushed an opponent and the opponent hit the umpire.
Yeah.
So regardless if it was an accident or not, I think you need to stamp that out. Otherwise you could have it in a grand final.
Yeah.
Or whenever. And and Hipwood got a goal out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Toby Green incident, but he got 6 weeks. Now that was a bit more deliberate, but it should have been at least two.
Yeah. No, I just want to get that out of the way quickly.
Move on to the main talking points. So the Roos. So
Before we start that, so I think this episode will mainly focus on the talking points with the Kangaroos, not so much the reviews, games. Yeah. So the reviews and the previews will be
a bit same old.
Super short. Yeah, because I mean, what are we gonna say? Like, lacks leadership, game plan sucks, like similar things. So there's just been a few topics, like the coach, the structure, picks, recruitment. So we'll just touch on that for the first 15 minutes, and then we'll jump onto the Port Adelaide stuff.
Yeah, 100%. So you mentioned the system. So system versus talent. So do you reckon it's a game plan or lack of quality players behind the smashings at the moment?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, end of the day, I think it's a bit of both. But the longer the season goes on and the more and more we see what's happening and how teams are playing against us, I think, and the lack of improvement in most of our list, bar like maybe three or four players, as a supporter watching us play, I reckon it's more and more got to do with the system and game plan. And that's supported by what the coach is saying publicly.
Yeah.
Expert commentators and ex-players analyzing how we play. So, for example, we do have quarters here and there. And the first quarter against Geelong was not too bad. Yeah. But 13 inside 50s. I think it was after half time. Quarter time, actually. Yeah. So that's just not getting any momentum on the ball and not taking ground. So slow ball movement. I was listening to a few podcasts as well this week, and it seems like the consensus is today's game we need to bring the ball, like move the ball quickly from the back half or go long and direct. We're not doing either of those, so we're going short and slow, and that's just allowing teams to
set up,
push up high, and like not let the ball, ping from one side to the other. So that's one thing, and then we don't have the cattle to carry out what we're trying to do as well. So when Aaron holds there, so sometimes we do get that penetration and drive, but even he hasn't been as good this year. And when he's not there, it's pretty clear that we sort of lack that drive out of defence. So
on that, I guess the talk at the moment is Noble will lose his job, if not by the end of the year, but definitely won't get to round one next year.
Yeah, well, while Walsh's review is happening, it's probably safe, you'd think.
And Montagna from the Fox video, he called out the messaging from the coach, like, which wasn't great. So at halftime, saying one thing, and then after the game, saying the players should have taken more ground or something. Yeah. So it's just contradicting himself, which is confusing. Probably the players behind closed doors, but also the public. I reckon if he has another sort of 60 plus point losses, he's definitely gonna have to go. But I think while the review's happening, it's be hard to sack him.
Well, does it serve any purpose? I mean, how many rounds are they left? Seven rounds.
Seven, yeah.
Like, is there any, what's an interim coach gonna achieve for seven rounds? But if you're losing by 100 points this week and then maybe another week, then it's got to be a circuit breaker.
It's more just looking for a new coach is probably what the reason would be to get rid of him. Because we already know GWS are looking for a coach and they've interviewed Clarkson.
Yeah, Matt Clarkson.
And he'd be the number one candidate for any club looking for a coach.
Even clubs with coaches,
So... fortunately, I reckon there's only maybe two or three clubs looking for a coach end of the year. You guys might be one of them, but the other one might be Essendon or St Kilda, but the rest of the coaches, I reckon, would be pretty safe. So that's a reason, one reason to sack him. Yeah, a bit of hope, a bit of because you can't also, if Noble's there and then other players are looking to move clubs during trade and trade period, then you want to be a somewhat attractive destination. And having a Noble there isn't that at the moment.
Speaking of hope, priority pick. So what's the latest with that?
So this has been, it'll probably be an ongoing topic until the day comes that we actually get one or not get one. Caroline Wilson on Footy Classified seemed to be pretty confident we'll get at least one pick. That's not pick one, but one pick.
Yeah.
She's got some contacts with the AFLA, I think. So she doesn't get everything right, but the way she said this sounded like at least one. So if it's just one pick, I think it has to be nothing less than pick one or pick two, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if it's more than one, then you could probably see us getting a mid first and a early second or something.
I think that sounds a bit more fair than pick one and two. I know, like, Hawthorne had it, and I think Collingwood had it as well back in the day, and even Melbourne, but I don't think pick one and two serves the competition. But if it's mid first and the start of the second, pick one.
Yeah, but what happens? Okay, we get mid first, mid second, get like two key position players, whatever, then they take years to develop.
Yeah.
And then next year, we have a similar season and win three or four games. Then do we ask for another one?
Can you get priority picks in consecutive years?
I don't know exactly. So that's the other thing. So the AFL needs to work out, would giving them one pick be enough, or will it be like a Gold Coast situation?
Which over a few years. Well, I think that's fairer.
What?
Like give you picks. Yeah, give you picks over one. Mm. Because one draft is not going to solve the problem, right? It's got to be two or three drafts minimum.
Yeah. Okay, but at the same time, like I said in our earlier topic, I reckon it's still system, not the talent. So I think the list is not too bad. I reckon if we get a new coaching group, a new game plan, new system, then the players we have, we've got multiple first-rounders, some good kids in there, a bit more experience, and we might not be as bad as this, but the other thing, priority picks are judged on win-loss percentage, rate of injuries and things, and like years without finals, grand finals. So if you look at all that, we sort of stack up against any team, really, especially the percentage this year, as deserving of priority picks. So the more this happens, the more I can see us getting the second pick, like a start of draft, which I think is probably fair. If it's a middle of first round, I'd expect something more to be added on top of that. Well, we've got no zones, so we can't get what Gold Coast got and the Darwin zones. But we can. And even the VFL, there's no point getting mature age access to like Sam Collins and all these guys. Maybe they might have been.
Gibbons from Carlton. Yeah, I mean, because they all got picked up in the mid-season draft, right? So,
yeah.
An extended rookie list might be the other sort of option.
Okay. So I guess the rules have changed, but they still exist.
Yeah, this is sort of what we touched on just before. I think David King, he replied to a couple of my tweets. So it was nice of him. So it sounded like he's changed his tune a little bit. He was very against priority picks and said the Kangaroos will get, he wants to be proud and and all this sort of, don't want handouts. But I don't think anyone remembers, or they'll probably remember when we get it, and if we win a grand final in like 5 years, they'll be like, oh, priority picks.
Yeah.
You got at the end of 2022, but we all know like teams like the Pies, Hawks, Melbourne, Carlton, they all got priority picks.
Yeah.
They've had multiple.
Yeah.
And when they got it, I know the rules were different, but they went for underperforming teams within a space of a year, maybe 2 years, which was too lenient, wouldn't it? And teams were abusing this.
Yeah, 100%. There was definitely tanking going on. And I don't think that's what's happening with North. I know you did a list clean out the last 2 years, but based on that, you should be getting...
So is it fair that North gets punished for what other teams did and how they abused the system? Like, it's not right.
It's not right. So I think that's why a Gold Coast package would be my decision. Mm-hmm. Over 2 or 3 years, you get not picks 1 and 2, you get pick 1, mid-first, start of second, maybe repeat that
second year,
third year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, Gil McLaughlin, it's one of his last things to do. Yeah. So we'll see what that happens. So, yeah, it's just annoying how I reckon most supporters just don't remember how, like Rewall or Kaczynski, really.
Yeah, but that was pick 1 and 2,
And Judd, and they were still like priority picks, even though
you
can argue who they would have picked, but like Pendlebury, Dale Thomas, all that top end. It's somewhat the AFL's own doing, really, like how it got to this. But not giving us sort of assistance. And the argument that like struggling clubs, this is self inflicted, is also another ignorant sort of argument. I think Stephen Quatermain said that, and a lot of people had to go at that, especially like Corey McKernan and David King as well. So, like teams don't deliberately want to get bad. It's just, how do you get from the other? You have a lot of experience, retire, you blood youth, list turnover, new coach. So that's what happened when all these teams got priority picks in the past, right? So, and then the commercial implications, right? Like, it's a buy for other teams, right? Isn't that, if you guys play us once, is that unfair?
Yeah, well, the teams that play you guys twice this season get an advantage. Same thing with West Coast, maybe not so much recently because West Coast have improved, but yeah, you're right. There's 17 competitive teams.
I mean, we don't even have to bring West Coast, I mean, because we're talking about priority picks in this, and West Coast, they're not going to qualify.
No.
We know that. They won the grand final like 3 years, 4 years ago. So, but yeah, like the AFL needs to have, they have a duty to make it a competitive league.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and priority picks are, the concept is there, so you give it to struggling clubs. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
So what about, I know the talk was Hodge, like a Hodge type to recruit to the club. What's your thoughts on that and any names you would look at?
Yeah, I reckon it's a great idea, and it's something I raised, I can't remember if I did it on the podcast, I might have, but... a while ago. So that's why it confused me when our list manager, I think it was Dan McPherson or someone, came out and said we're looking to target 25 to 28 year olds. Yeah. And that was a bit disappointing because for those players in their prime, one, it's going to be harder to get them into
the
bottom club. Two, you're going to have to pay them like overs and bigger contracts. And three, they might not be there when you contend.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting an experienced player like
Hodge and Brisbane.
Yeah, Hodge and Birchall, Brisbane, there were examples how John Lewis went to Melbourne. I reckon because you can pay, like give them a year, maybe 2 years if they have a good first year, but they're there to develop the youth and they're not, and they're replacing the senior players we already have that aren't any good really. Your Turners and your Josh Walkers, maybe even Goldie if he leaves.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd want a half back, someone that can play that like setting up the
field. Hodgson at Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah, like maybe a Shannon Hearn if his body's okay. But again, who knows if he wants to come to Melbourne. But if it's midfield, I'd look at, even Travis Burke. He's probably pretty settled in South Australia, right?
Yeah, hands off.
He's non-contracted.
Well, I think the point you're making is players that feel they have one or two more years left and they get, you know, pushed out early, like Hearn might be one.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been talk in the last couple of days, Hearn, their plan is to retire him, but he wants to play on.
Yeah.
So that might be an option. He's a premiership captain as well. Boak as well, we might offer him a new contract. So I'd say he wants to keep playing. So
Yeah, I reckon that's a good model. And if Cunnington comes back, that'd be good. But I did see him training a little clip and he looked a little bit slow. So,
okay.
He'll have the whole preseason to get back. But Travis Burke, Josh Kennedy from the Swans, even Callan Ward, or even Liam Shields. These guys all have like finals experience, premierships. And the knowledge and their leadership on field will be a lot of massive upgrade to what we have at the moment.
Just one will do it, or you need two or three to come in at the same time? I don't think one person's going to fix.
Yeah, it probably depends on our list size. Like, this is why having an extended rookie list might be beneficial, because we can add one of these or a couple of these guys. So I reckon, ideally we'd want a couple, I think, just to balance it out. In the forward line, maybe a Gunston. He'd be ideal, I reckon. Yeah. And a side bottom maybe as well. Which we should be looking at for sure. Like, I'm a bit confused why Tom Lynch from Adelaide didn't...
Yeah, why he got recruited if he's not playing.
He got recruited. I think, we wanted him to be a coach. But don't think he trained or anything, because he didn't play any sort of game. So maybe, they weren't planning to play him. But they said it was going to be a break glass situation, but...
Yeah.
Maybe we haven't had a break glass situation just yet.
Has been a break glass situation.
Maybe looking at salary dumps as well. Like maybe Matt Crouch, someone like that.
Yeah, he got dropped for cheap. Recently,
Bigger body would be good.
So we'd lead this on to the game review. It'll be a big game review, but we'll touch on some of the... There were some positives to start with.
Yeah, Davies Uniacke has been probably one of the biggest positives. So... I read in an article, prior to this year, he was sort of just waiting around and, waiting for others to do the job.
Yeah.
Where he'd be like, playing his part now and then. But now he knows that everyone else around him is pretty bad. So he has to go and do it himself. And that's what probably, it's probably helped him actually to like realize his potential and his talent. So, breakout, 35 touches, 6 tackles, and his pressure rating, pressure X are like always up there now in the top 5 or 6 on the ground. So, great game. Lazaro as well. I thought he was pretty good off the half back line in that second quarter. Not sure why he was switched after that, but he had, 11 touches and was pretty effective in that quarter. And I reckon our team, as an overall, our effort's not too bad. It was 63 tackles to 60, so we won that by 3, but then only managed to get it inside 13 times in 3 quarters. So I think it comes down to system, as I said, but
And negatives,
Playing Mackay back, playing him forward, so not starting him on one of the two dangerous tools. Only 3 touches, shifted back into the second half, so I'm really not sure what Noble is trying to do here.
So you did get shifted back?
Yeah,
so like that experiment's over, probably.
Well, I don't know. Like, we play Collingwood. Collingwood would be an okay team to do it against.
Because
they don't have too many tools at either end, really.
Yeah, because Fogarty and Walk kicked, I think, 10 between them. Hawkins and Cameron are the best 1-2 like punch.
10 as well, I think.
It's probably the wrong 2 weeks to
be. Yeah, so not sure what's happening there. He's also a restricted free agent next year. So what do you reckon? Do you think... he wants to leave and we're just like experimenting.
So I'd say there's like 5 untouchables at the Roos. Mackay, like his form the last couple of years, he's been nearly all Australian worthy. Yeah. LDU, Karen Thomas, if he gets, you know.
Probably Larky and Horn Francis, really.
Yeah, they're your 5. I would have thought that, completely untouchable.
Yeah, okay. But the D's did get picked 2 for a Frawley that was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, who's your fullback for the next
team? Yeah, that's the thing. That's they had Tom McDonald in there. Yeah. And they went and got May and Lever.
Yeah.
But
he's still young, too, isn't he? Okay. He's less than 25, I would have thought.
He's about 25, I think. Yeah, yeah, so 24, 25. If
he was 28, 29, maybe I'd be saying push him on, but yeah, he's your spine.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, forget like early priority pick this year, pick 1-2 this year,
yeah.
Potentially pick 1-2 next year if Mackay leaves. So okay. Just something to think about. Okay, that's enough.
Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, like keep for like you guys would use a key back like that.
Oh, I think most clubs. Even Larky too.
They're hard to find, so I would like him to stay. That's my preference.
So
we'll move on to your game. A game.
Yeah, their game.
Review. So this was a cracking game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So many individual highlights.
Yeah, I think George Yardis and Hayden Young, Mark of the Year, Sarong, Goal of the Year. Yeah, well,
Dixon contenders. Kicked it.
Yeah, Dixon kicked a great goal too. So, last game of the round again. We started off on fire, first three goals, and yeah, pretty pumped. Thought it was, we were on and we might win because I think it was a must-win game again. Then, Freo kicked 14 goals to 6 to go 40 points up late in the third. And then, we kicked the first 5 goals of the fourth quarter. Really finished full of running and Freo really stopped. The Brayshaw chase down on Finlayson was pretty pivotal. It turned a pretty certain poor goal into Freo's only goal in the fourth. And that was probably the sealer and allowed enough gap to not come back from for Port.
Mm-hmm. So should Port have won the game late? They sort of said fast start and a quick fire
finish.
Yeah.
So we weren't the better team on the day because the first 10-15 minutes and the last 30 minutes, it's not a full game. It's not even half the match. Two gilt edge opportunities late. Clutchest player probably in our history, Robbie Gray, missed everything from an easy set shot. He's kicked harder goals to win games in the last few years and. Yeah, the most accurate player in the game, Marshall, missed a fairly easy shot too. So you kick those two goals, we probably win, to be fair. Just a missed opportunity and can't get that one back now.
And how did Port go without a recognised ruckman? And who were they up against?
Darcy. Okay. Sean Darcy. So probably the dominant player on the ground. I think it was the first time it's really hurt us. Against Richmond, we won the clearances. Against Sydney, we won clearances. Against Gold Coast, we won clearances. But, we were minus 18 in clearances and minus 10 centre square. So, Darcy will get the three votes, Brett Brownlow votes, and had 10 clearances himself. So, and Lobie as well, who was the backup ruck, didn't really need to do it. He kicked 5 goals against Aaliyah, who was pretty poor on the day. And, just fumbly and, didn't really... intercept and dropped a few chest marks. So he probably had his poorest day since he's been a poor player.
And who stood out for Port Adelaide? I did see the midfield numbers and there seemed to be a little bit of a gap between a couple of them and the rest.
Yeah, so Wines and Rosie were clearly the best two. Wines game high 17 contested. Rosie kicked another 2 goals and 20. His second half was brilliant. So I think he's got something like 50. I think he's polled coaches' votes.
Since round 4 or something?
Well, I think he got moved in the midfield second half of round 5. So, in 9.5 matches, I think he's polled votes in maybe 6 or 7. So, he's probably leading up BNF, really. He may be a smoky for the Brownlow potentially, too, because he'll attract votes.
Yeah, and position will change, really, right?
Yeah.
That's why,
yeah.
See, sometimes it's the system and, instruction, not the... individual player because they could be played out of position. So
exactly right. Because it's small forwards, can not touch the ball sometimes. Positive signs from Meade, inside tackling, forward 50.
Kicked a goal, didn't
he? Yeah, and he kicked a really good contested mark in the fourth to kick his first goal. And Burgoyne had a few iffy moments, but he looked pretty silky. He just needs to put on weight. I think he's 65 kilograms. So. Looks like a player of the future anyway.
He looks, he's got a funny looking face, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like prepubescent, facial hair, and he's got a wig as a hairstyle, but definitely moves like his father, Peter, so great signs there. And George Yardes, I think he's back, game high 3 contested marks, 2 early goals, plus that mark of the year contender, but no impact after, so that's probably his next step. And he missed that set shot from the mark he took. That hanger, so needs to get better there.
Yeah, consistency is always hard for sort of young players.
Yeah.
Right? So, and for Freo, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, Ethan Hughes is pretty impressive. 5 clearances. First time I've really seen him play. Age 29 plus 2 goals. Jordan Clark was probably second best on ground, second most meted gained. In Everport, we need to win 6 of the last 7 minimum to get to
really
13 wins. And yeah, we've got, I think D's, Geelong, Collingwood, Richmond on the way home. And even Essendon and Marvel's going to be tough the way they're playing some weeks. So, yeah, I think Vine's probably out at the moment. So.
Did Carl Amon play?
Yeah, he was good. Kicked a really good goal in the fourth. But, I think it's even Chris Davies in the presser the other week. It's like a formality that he'd look though, yeah.
So what kind of compensation do you reckon? Will he get? He's going to get offered, like, long term. Maybe not the biggest money.
Yeah, we'll get compo that's probably exceeding his worth as a player, but because he's probably going to get a 5-year, $3 million contract, it's probably, what, second rounder at worst, right?
Because if you got your first, you could have got, picked like 1-2.
Yeah, I don't
7
think...
and 8.
Well, is $3 million 5 years worth the first round?
Maybe if you're Danaher.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think he'll go. So, it's good. We got Farrell and Mead, I think, which will take his place in the younger end.
Mm-hmm. You get an extra pick.
Yeah, exactly right. So, we won't do a game.
I'll do a quick one. So we play the Collingwood vs North MCG. So it's our second hand MCG game for the year. So we don't really get too many of those.
Collingwood, 6 in a row. Hottest team in the comp.
Yeah, they're flying. Yeah, gritty win over the Gold Coast. I think Hoskin Elliott kicked a
good crumb.
The sealer there, or the match winner. Darcy Moore, he got injured. He might play. They reckon he might, but I'd be
this week. Oh, really?
Yeah, like they say, saying he's a test or like potential. So, Kangaroos, we picked up a couple of injuries. Aaron Hall early in the game and Kane Turner not long after that.
Who do you reckon comes in for them?
I reckon Jack Zibel and Horn Francis, two definite ins there. Yeah.
So you wouldn't bring back Horn Francis through to the AFL, no?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know. Noble, I don't know, who knows what we might do.
Yeah.
Bailey Scott might come back in. He had a hip injury, missed a week. Aidan Bonner, maybe, hamstring. Just a lot of injuries. That's the other thing we need to get right. Just have our best players playing. Because Collingwood, they'll be missing like two players from their best. Yeah. Maybe three if you want to count Kruger, whatever.
Nathan Kruger, yeah.
Yeah, but we're missing maybe like 5, 6 or something. So, injury management. It's needs to get better. Otherwise, I don't see us getting close. Because Collingwood, they play a high up defensive game, and that's what we can't get past. So again, it could be like very low inside 50s for North.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for Larky if Moore does miss. Because I mean, Howe's probably the next. Roughhead's retired, so.
Hmm.
Like Larky versus Howe.
Yeah, see, this would be a good week to put Mackay forward because they've got Majacek and Cox.
Yeah,
probably about it forward in their forward line. I just don't see us winning the system. Yeah, just can't like if Collingwood they can defend. Like Golka's only scored like 60 points or something.
Yeah.
We can barely score 40. So it'll be another sort of slog. To win, I think everything we've done this year in terms of ball movement has to go out the window.
Yeah.
And, need to, like, don't even think I'm, the players aren't, their natural talents aren't getting utilized.
Yeah.
So Tom Powell's, he can win a lot of the ball and put out those hand passes, but he's never in those contested situations. And Taron Thomas, when he was playing, never had the ability to sort of break the lines and run, so. He might be another one that comes in, by the way. So, hopefully there's 3 or 4 changes, but be competitive and keep the margin to something respectable. But yeah, hard to see that happening. Okay. And Port Adelaide and a showdown.
No. GWS. I think showdown's coming in a few weeks, but got me early there. So I think team changes. Cleary comes in for McKenzie. He was ill last week. Yeah, he's clear number one fullback. Butters probably comes in for Jones. He's out with another hamstring. I think Bergman and Burgoyne stay in the team. Lysett didn't play in the sample, so he can't come back in. 4 months out, no sample footy. So Dick Dixon and Finlay's in the ruck again versus Flynn. So I think Sam Hayes had COVID the previous week and his form just isn't good enough to warrant an AFL return. So I think that some of the matchups, Marshall versus Taylor, Georgiades versus Haynes, Dixon versus Davis when he plays forward, and maybe Connor Idun versus Robbie Gray. I think Jonas goes to Green, and that Toby Green, that's probably the biggest role of the match. And maybe Burton as a backup, but yeah, that's probably the matchup where GWS can get on top. I think Aaliyah goes to Himmelberg, who's been played, I think, switched again to forward. And then Cleary goes to Hogan, who's got some nice form behind him now, Hogan, so I hope he gets some continuity with his footy.
Yeah, I think it was best on ground.
Yeah,
or close to last week.
Funny side, GWS, a bit up and down. They've got a lot of talent on their list, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I think that's why they're wanting Clarkson to turn it around. I think Rosie's probably due for a tag, so maybe Lockie Ash goes to him. I'd say Drew tags Cornelio. I'd like to see, Wines, Green, Boak, Ward, Butters, Kelly, they're probably your matchups. And I think finals hopes are slim at the moment, and that's probably where teams tend to not lose hope, but they tend to stop, playing four quarters. But I think that's been the positive with us. We've come home hard every game. So hopefully we keep doing that till round 22. Yeah. Not just for Ken, but I think for the supporters as well.
Yeah, and Paul, they're good at getting on
runs.
Runs, yeah. So you never know.
Yeah. 7 in a row will do it, but yeah, we'll see. The tipping, so you, I think, beat me by 3 last round, so you're up by 4. So I think I'm 3rd at the moment, and you're 1st in our ladder.
I think you went for a few too many upsets.
Yeah, I think I'll cut down on them in future, just too many swings. Okay. So round 17 preview. So Thursday night starts off with Geelong hosting Melbourne at GMHBA. Who have you got?
Yeah, I reckon Melbourne. I think it's at GMHBA.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I thought it was on the NCG. But you're right. So it's a tough one. I reckon Melbourne as well. I reckon just because the preparation we gave Geelong is gonna be so bad, we're gonna drag him down with us a bit. And Melbourne getting gone back.
Pick 5 in the prelim last season.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see how Stanley responds, because that's probably a matchup where the D's would fancy their chances. Friday night, Sydney hosting Western Bulldogs at the SCG. I've got Sydney, even though they're probably the most inconsistent finals team I can remember. Just think they're too reliant on Norton to kick them a score.
Yeah, being at the SCG, I reckon, Sydney will win the game here. They were okay last week, though.
Bulldogs, Brisbane at the Gabba. They were close, but they just weren't, good enough.
I don't know. I haven't watched too much of Sydney this year, really. I'll go for, then.
Collingwood versus North. I got Collingwood, but I think if Moore doesn't play, I think it'll be a lot closer than 112 points.
We were $18 at the start of the week, so we'll come into 13. So all the money in from North. But we won't be going to this game. But hopefully, Jeff Walsh sees what he has to see.
Yeah. Good decision. So Gold Coast hosting Richmond at Metricon. I've got the Suns. It's not really an upset. They're even odds at the moment, but I think riding the high off Jew's extension, I think they'll get the job done at home.
Yeah, well deserved extension. I think all the talk was Clarkson to the Suns, but he's turned around in a couple of years. I reckon the Suns as well. I think Richmond, they've been on a pretty good roll, but the Suns playing good footy. And Rankin's having a really good deal.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon he can be all Australian, Smoker? Why not?
Well, he just wasn't good enough the first 6-7 weeks. I think he's finished time, yeah.
Okay.
Saints hosting Dockers at Marvel Saturday night. I've got the Dockers after seeing Sean Darcy. I think he'll just be too good. I think Marshall might be out, so I think he'll be too good for Ryder.
I reckon St Kilda for this. Just because the Dockers didn't play the stadium too well. They lost a lot of games there, so I reckon back in Gresham and Sinclair, these sort of guys, to get the job done.
yeah, no Hunter Clark, and yeah, Duglad still be out too.
Hopefully, yeah, Hunter Clark can recover and get a good run at it because he's had a couple of really bad facial injuries.
So Port hosting the Giants at Adelaide up Oval. I've got Port again.
Yeah, I'll have Port as well just because it's at home. I reckon, yeah, Dixon can get a hold of their defence and kick a bag.
Like to see that. And Sunday, Brisbane hosting Essendon at the Gabba. I'm not going to tip against Brisbane at the Gabba in home and away rounds again. So
you're not going to against them?
Yep. At the Gabba in home and away.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I reckon Brisbane. You can't see Essendon. Winning two in a row.
Hawks hosting Adelaide at Marvel. I've got the Hawks. They're probably due for a win. I think they've lost about four or five on the trot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I reckon the round's so even that you probably have to lean towards the home team unless it's a big upset. So, yeah, Hawks again. We'll see what Jack Gunston's dad's passing, if that can have an effect.
I think, big role in the game as well, and not just Jack's condolences there to the family. And to close the round, West Coast hosting Carlton at Optus. I want to tip West Coast, but my head says Carlton, so I'll tip Carlton.
Yeah, this could be an upset, but every time that Carlton has looked to be
shaky,
they've sort of actually played not too bad. So, yeah, I agree with you. I reckon, Carlton, they're a better side than Essendon, who West Coast knocked off recently, but Carlton to win this. So I think we just got the one different.
Yeah, so it's not gonna. You're still gonna be up at the end of the round. So, good time. So we'll end there and catch you guys next week.
Okay, see ya.